standing in the middle, I feel like we're tilting this way. Oh, good, Tim. Thank you. Oh, Nancy, thank you. Okay, so you guys, I know this is going to sound funny. Nancy, can you hand me my phone? But I got this analogy, and you will remember it, but it's a little... Anyway. You can pick your seat where you're going to sit down. You can pick your friends. You can even pick your nose. But let me just say, you did not pick God. He picked you. And you may feel like, hey, I showed up at church today. That's me picking God. No, he picked you before the beginning of the foundation of the world. He picked you. Here, let me tell you. Let me show you. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I had this up, but it went away. In John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. Fruit is other people. Choosing that your life would be a witness to somebody else, and they would be drawn to Jesus because of what your life looks like. So God picked you not just for you, but he picked you for all the other people that are behind you. You know that story of the woman with the issue of blood, or the woman at the Samaritan's well, how she went out to the well during the daytime because she didn't want to see anybody else. She didn't want to get caught up in somebody choosing to disgrace her because of what her life showed. But Jesus chose, he picked that day to run across her by going through Samaria and asking her for a drink of water. And when she finally said yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, she set down her water pot and ran back to the village, and all of those people came and chose Jesus too. Will you stand with me today? Father, we're thankful because even though we like to say this has all been our choice, it's not. You knew from the very beginning of time who would be standing here today, who would choose themselves to come here today, but Jesus, it's because you chose them. So Father, today I pray that that would be what draws them to you, that they would feel that personal drawing that only you can give. Father, as we worship, let us worship in spirit and truth. Let us choose to worship you unabandoned. Whatever that looks like for whichever one of us, however that is, God, help us just to choose you this morning to say yes as you have chosen us. In Jesus' name.
Enough to get through the rough. Oh, I- I've had this like unction from the Lord that I don't want this to be just another song, you know? Like, I feel like there's a stirring that's going on in a few of you where it's like your heart's maybe pounding a little bit harder and your stomach might feel a little bit like it's drooping. But he's calling you, you know, like there's a movie out there called Hitch. Some of you know it, some of you don't. But he's talking about, and he's coaching this guy on how to be a good date, right? And the things to do. And he's saying, you know, I come 90, you come 10. Well, God's come 90, and he's just waiting for you to come 10. And so I'm just inviting you guys to kind of come up here. If you're feeling that unction, don't worry about what's going on around you or who's looking or whatever, but follow that stirring and allow him to fill you up and do the things, right? Because he can touch you in your seats just the same as he can touch you here. But there's something about that showing him that you're ready, that you want that 10, that you want that whole 100% together. You know, when we take that extra step, and it's uncomfortable because, you know, it just is. But what he can do with that is so much greater than the embarrassment or the weirdness that you might feel in the process of getting up here. So if that's you and you're feeling that stirring, I just invite you up right now because he is wanting to do something big. I can feel it. And I don't want you to miss out on that opportunity. And so as we sing this too, you know, like we're breaking down all of our traditions. We're breaking down all these things that we seem to put in place that seem comfortable, you know? And his way's better, even though it doesn't always make sense. So can we go back into that?
Better and shake up the ground. Thank you.
just thank you, Father. God, I thank you that you're relentless in your love for us. Papa, I just am so thankful, God, that you don't give up even when we do, that you're persistent and relentless, God. I thank you, Father, for calling us out and calling us up, God. Father, I thank you that you, oh man, just for your scandal of grace, God, that there's not one thing that I can do to earn what you've already given, nor that it can be taken away. You guys know that? Like, there was like this, I was talking to my sister yesterday for like 2 hours processing something with her. And this revelation came that you can't lose something that was given. Like, you never earned it. So for as much as it's been given to you, it can't be taken away from you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to pay our debt with his blood, whether or not we want it. Wow. You know, like he got up on that cross for those who do all the sinning in the world, just as much as for you and me who do this every day and do our best to live righteously. That's such a wow, you know? Like, he loves us so much that there's not one thing that we can do. Like, he's actually able, that whole poem of, like, carrying you. Like, whenever we're walking and we feel so alone, but it's like, he's like, no, actually, I'm carrying you. He gets to carry us in our worst of times because the blood washes over that for us. So he's never separated from us. He's never once been apart from us. He paid that price so he could go through these things with us. Wow. God, you're so, so, so good. Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Thank you for saying yes to the cross and saying yes to me. Even in my worst days, Lord. That even when I choose to reject you or do something wrong, God, that you'd say yes to me and you're right there with me in that process. God, I thank you. I thank you for being such a loving God. We just give this, all of this to you, Father, that this service would be just a sweet aroma of our thanks to you, God. That everything that happens here today, Father, brings you glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. God, I pray that every heart here today, God, is touched by you in a tangible and unmistakable way, God. That hearts are stirred and that fires are lit and burn even hotter than ever before, God. Yeah, we give this service to you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that you've won. Isn't that so cool? He's won, guys. Like, the enemy tries to make us think that we have to work for something that's already ours. Like, the war is already won. And these little battles that we're in, he doesn't have that ground. He just makes us think he does. That's actually our ground and he's in our territory. Mind blowing, right? Like, I don't have to fight the devil. I actually get to tell him to go because this is already mine. Holy goodness, that's awesome. God, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. And we just give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, give it up for the worship team, you guys. Yeah, and just hug a neck, go get some coffee, and enjoy each other for a few minutes.
Here we go. There we go. Okay. You guys ready for some declarations? Declaring over Yakima God's will, God's desire for lives, for hearts, for families, for businesses. As we've said before, your guys' words, your guys' declarations, your guys' acknowledgement of what God desires for this city adds to the power of him to be able to move in this city. For some reason, God's decreed that our prayers are necessary for things to happen. So if this is just something that you're just saying, make sure that it's a prayer in your heart, that you're connecting with these words by faith. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the first slide. Right, you'll stand with me. And on three, one, two, three, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, to you doing whatever you need to do, Lord, here in this valley. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would allow hearts to receive, Lord, what you have for them. Lord, for those, Lord, that have the scales and have the blindness that the enemy's put over their eyes, Lord, that you would remove those in Jesus' name. That you remove any stumbling blocks. You remove any lies, Lord. You remove any deception, Lord, that he's put over them. Any hurts and pains, Lord, from the past that give your name disdain in people, Lord. We pray that those would be healed now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would allow hearts to receive you, the truth, Lord, the way and the life, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're working in Yakima, Lord. We see you working. We know you're working, Lord. And when there's things that you're doing that we can't see and we don't know, Lord, but we know that you're working here. So, Lord, we believe for a miracle in this city, Lord. We believe for miracles of lives changed, transformed, and hearts touched in Jesus' name. We thank you for this, and all God's people said, amen.
Praise God. You guys can be seated. We have a few announcements coming up this month. So the first one is men's breakfast. I know maybe a little bit of a short notice, but we're gonna attempt to do these once a month. And the second Saturday is what we're shooting for. So this upcoming Saturday at 8:30 here at the church, we're gonna have men's breakfast. And men's breakfast includes all men, old men, young men, everywhere in between. I'm gonna invite my youth guys to come as well. And you've may have been to men's breakfasts before, and so you kind of can get the gist of it. It's just a time to connect, a time to, as well, if you have guys in your lives that don't have a church, that don't have a body, that maybe won't, you know, come to a Sunday morning, invite them to a men's breakfast, a little bit less intimidating, and just, you know, who doesn't like free food? So, that's coming up Saturday, so put that in your calendars. And then next Sunday, we're having another Baptism Sunday. Now, I don't know about you guys, or I don't know if you guys realize this, rather, but it's a big deal that our church, One Life Family Worship, has had multiple baptisms within the last few months, because there was a window of time where that wasn't happening. And baptisms being this dedication that somebody's making, where they're saying, I'm going in the water as one thing and I'm coming out another. And so that's a big deal, and I believe God is blessing that in a major, major way. And so next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms. We have a few people that have already said yes, and we want to put this at the forefront of your mind, that if you would like to get baptized, and maybe you've already been baptized before, but you feel like you're feeling stirred up to do it again, that's okay too. You could double dip, no problem. And so if you would like to get baptized, please get one of the bulletins that are in the back there, and just indicate there that you want to. That way we kind of know who's doing it and whatnot. And you could just put your indication in the offering box in the back there, in the back box right there. It's going to be really good. So that's next Sunday. And then the last announcement we have is the Becoming One weekend. So we've been talking about this the last few weeks. This is our marriage intensive. It's a Friday night and a part day Saturday. And we're going to hang out together. We're going to have dinner together. And ultimately, we're going to strengthen our marriages. I don't know if you guys are aware of the attack that is on the covenant, the marriage between a man and a woman. It is nobody else's job but our own, husbands and wives, to take care of our marriage. Nobody else's. And so by saying yes to taking some time, taking a night and half a day of a weekend, you are putting in the extra work. Is it going to solve all the world's problems? Maybe not. But nonetheless, it's taking intentionality and putting it on our marriages. And so a lot of you have already signed up. If you haven't signed up, we can pass this around again. And we're inviting other people as well. We have about 5 spots left. And so if you know somebody that is married, that this could bless them, please let them know and get their interest. Let Pastor Mike know that you have a couple that wants to join, and we can get them signed up. Amen. And then the last thing is giving. We appreciate you guys giving. Appreciate you guys sowing into the house there. You guys know how you could do it online in the boxes here, and it just doesn't go unnoticed. God's blessing your house as he's blessing our house, and he's blessing the joyful giver. Amen. All right. Well, without further ado, Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone. Yeah, thank you. It's good to be seen. Because if I wasn't seen, then that means something else is going on, right? So yes, the Lord is good. He is the one who sustains our life. He's the one who gives us breath in our lungs. And there's a worship song that I was listening to last night, and it's called Breathe. And the whole idea is to not let life just overwhelm you with all of the things that can go on and all the troubles and everything, but breathe. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, that sounds like you're kind of, you know, like you're just trying to do some kind of psycho thing on yourself. No, but if you realize that when you're breathing in the air and the ability that God's given you. It's a way of being thankful for being able to breathe. It's a way of being thankful for having the Spirit of God living in us. So encourage you to do that. Breathe when things are overwhelming. And at the very least, just call on the name of Jesus. So we are on part 7 in Ephesians. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I'll read it here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now just think about that for a minute. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle. We do not fight. We are not to engage in such a way where we let our emotions and our heart and everything get so caught up in the other individual that we don't realize the source of all of it. The source is the as it says here, the source is the rulers of the darkness of this age, against principalities, against powers, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's who we battle with. So what does that tell me that I need to do if I'm having an issue with somebody? I need to pray. I need to have the mind of the Lord. I need to not take it out on my and take it in my own strength to try to accomplish something. To give it to God and see what he can do. Stand, as it says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So today, we're on verse 15. We're starting to wind this series down. There's still quite a bit left to do, but if we're on a roller coaster, we're now going down the downhill side. But last week and the week before, we studied on to stand, therefore, and having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When I was first saved, I used to have like this memory deal that I think I bought it at Book and Bible is what it was called. And what it was these cards that you could slide. I think Navigators made it, and it had like a red screen on it, so that when you pulled it, you could see the verse. And it was basically, because I guess the way that they made it is you couldn't see the if you pulled the car out, you couldn't see what was there, so you couldn't cheat. Oh, I know what the next verse is. Once the red screen came up, you could see it. Now, these are some of the scriptures that I memorized was Ephesians. I don't think we went all the way through. I think we just got the whole armor of God in there. And, you know, I read it and, you know, and I've studied it. I've never preached on this series before. I think I've shared in Bible studies and maybe, you know, at times when it's applicable, you know, to accompany it with what I'm sharing. So this is the first time I've ever done this, and what I do when I study, and I encourage all of you to study, is that I don't just read things at face value when I study. I have a habit of when I'm just reading the Bible, I read it at face value. And so for years, I've read this scripture based upon the way that I understood it when I pulled it down and started memorizing those scriptures. And so and I've heard it preached this way before, when I've thought about the having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I thought it was talking about us going out and sharing the gospel. It's not about that. Now you guys are going, what? It's not. And I'm going to prove it to you. It's about something else. It's about the whole principle of us standing. It's about the whole principle of us being on a firm foundation. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So let's go ahead and look at this in a few different translations, which really kind of clears it up. And I've read it in different translations, but I've always had this preconceived idea of what it meant. Does anybody else do that when they read the Bible? You've heard it preached that way before, or maybe you've read it and you've felt that that's what it meant. And so you always read it that way until you start doing a deep dive. And I did a deep dive. So the NET says this, by fitting your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace. See, the good news is what comes to us to stand. The good news is what we have a firmer foundation for standing on. And having strapped, this is the NASB, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Complete Jewish Bible says this way, and wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of shalom. So it's not that our feet are being used to take out the gospel to people, even though that's good. I'm not saying, you know, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We've heard that before. We used to sing that song years ago. But the idea here is that we receive the good news into our being and we stand stronger. Here's another one. This is the HRB. And defend your feet with the preparation. I love this. Defend your feet. Because basically what these soldiers would do is they would strap these things on their legs so that it would help them stand. It was harder to knock them over. You know, they had so much metal on them that if they got, you know, tipsy a wrong way, they could be tipped over. But these were meant to secure their feet to the ground so that they were much more stable. They had a firmer foundation. So that's what it says. And defend your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. Then the ESV says it this way, and as shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So what this is saying is that the good news, which the good news is the message of Jesus Christ. The good news is that he came, he died for us. Because he died for us, we can now have relationship with God. But not only that, we also receive the promises of God. We also receive the enablement and power of the Holy Spirit, which those are good news. But that good news is supposed to do something for us. It's supposed to help us be more secure to stand. Notice that this 10 verses has at the very beginning of it, stand, withstand, many, many times. It's because that's what Paul is wanting the Christians to do. You know, when we don't withstand, when we don't stand, what ends up happening? We end up falling. And normally when we end up falling, we end up backsliding. Or we end up becoming so hurt that we don't move forward in God. And the enemy just kind of has his way with us. So standing is vital. Standing is important. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the preparation part of it. So if we look at this, this Greek word is hetomesia. There we go. That'll work. The act, it means the act of preparing. Now, interestingly enough, this is a noun. So this should have, you know, had, right away when I was studying, should have gave me clue, because what is the noun in a sentence? The noun is the main object, right? So this is what the object of this expression's about, is the preparation. So it could be the act of preparing, or it could be the condition of a person or thing or so far forth as prepared. Could mean preparedness, readiness. And the part of speech is, it is a noun. So it means, this is saying basically, I want you to take the gospel, the good news of Christ, and I want you to apply it to your life in such a way that it prepares you for walking through life. That it prepares you for whatever's going to come. The wiles of the devil, the rulers of the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, whatever it is, that the gospel prepares you for that. Here's another way to look at it. This is from the Vincent Word Studies. You can find this in eSword, and you can find it online. But if you have eSword, you can go, and it's one of the free commentaries that you can get. And so it helps expand some of the words that are in the verse, and it expands the word preparation here. It says that it means readiness, but in Hellenistic Greek, it was sometimes used in the sense of establishment or firm foundation, which would suit this passage. Also firm footing. Now, has anybody else been kind of surprised with this verse today? I know I was. And you're saying, okay, well, that's what it means. So why is that a big deal in my life? Because it's telling me that again, we have access to the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, and it does more than just save our soul. It does more than just keep us from going to hell. It causes us to be firm in our faith. It causes us to be able to stand when the enemy's attacking us. I'm getting excited about it. I don't know about anybody else. John Gill. So this word signifies a base or foundation. So it is used by the Septuagint interpreters on Zechariah 5:11. And here it designs a firm and solid knowledge of the gospel, as it publishes peace by Jesus Christ, which yields a sure foundation for the Christian soldier to set his foot upon and stand fast on, it being that to him as the shoe is to the foot, its base or foundation. So in other words, again, this word is saying that we're to have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, we're to put it on our feet. Again, what did we learn? That these items that we're putting on aren't just some kind of, you know, metaphorical idea that we're getting truth on as a belt and we're putting on a breastplate of righteousness. It's Jesus himself. And so Jesus himself, we're saying, Lord, apply your good news of what you did on the cross to my feet so I can stand. All right, let's look at one of the first times in the Old Testament this word preparation was used. And this is a very key one, because this is when David had such a desire to build the temple, but God said, no, you're not going to build the temple. Your son's going to build the temple. But it was in David's heart to do everything he could to prepare everything that was needed to build the temple. So it says here in 1 Corinthians 22:5, now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. And the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. In other words, he wanted this temple to be built that it made any other temple that had ever been made look pale in comparison. That was David. He just didn't do anything halfway, did he? He says, and I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparation before his death. I've got competition here. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Now, hopefully we're not making preparations with the gospel of peace before our death. But we are to have this same kind of fervor, realizing that how we live demonstrates to others the glory of God. It's like we are a temple. And the more we are prepared, the more we display to this earth and to this world and to these unbelievers and to other brothers and sisters in Christ that God is glorious. And the more that we act like our old selves, the less we do that. Has anybody ever been around a Christian that's not acting like Jesus? Do they bring glory to God? No, they don't. I've been accused and I've been guilty of it. But I want to stand in Christ in such a way that my life is like a temple that when people look at it, say, oh my, my, look what God has done in that life. Because especially people that knew me before. Psalm 89, 13 through 15. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are all the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Righteousness and justice are foundations. What is justice? Justice means judging rightly. What does righteousness mean? We learned that last week, right? It's God's righteousness, right? It's not our own righteousness. Our own righteousness doesn't measure up. Said our own righteousness is as filthy rags. So this is God's righteousness we're talking about, and they're the foundation, or they're the firmness of his throne. So righteousness and justice are something that we need to desire in our life. So we know how to get righteousness right. We say, Lord, I depend fully on you for my righteousness. I don't depend on my own works. I don't depend on my own abilities. I give you my life, and in return, I receive your righteousness. It says that he became sin who knew no sin, so that what? We could become the righteousness of God. And then justice. What does it take to have good justice, to make the right judgment? Truth. When you have truth, what happens? You're able to make right decisions. You're able to have justice performed. So we've received God's truth as well. So you could say the truth that God has brings justice and righteousness, and that's the foundation of his throne. Something, again, we need to prepare for and strive for. 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21. This is the NET. Now, in a wealthy home, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also ones made of wood and of clay, and some are for honorable use, but others are for ignoble use, sorry. So if someone cleanses himself of such behavior, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So part of being prepared, part of having our feet shod with the gospel of peace, is to run away from evil, is to allow God to take us out of the darkness that we've been living in. The darkness and the lies that the enemy's put on our lives. And when we do that, we become prepared, ready for every good work. I love the scripture in Ephesians where it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I think it's Ephesians 2:10. But we are his workmanship. So if there's good works for us to walk in, we need to make sure that our feet are solid, right? That we can walk a walk that is strong and powerful and is able to perform what God calls us to do. I know there's times in my life where I haven't been firm in my foundation, and I don't get as much done for God. And I'm not trying to say this in a way to guilt you, because I'm not that kind of person. I've been through the guilt trip by others, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a joy in fulfilling the will of God. And there's a disappointment when you're not fulfilling the will of God. When we know what God's given us, the potential that he has in us, and we don't rise up to it, there's a lack in our life. Do you have something? Oh, yeah. She's going to explain something. Yeah. She's going to explain it.
This is one of my favorite subjects to talk about, and I studied it a long time ago, and I loved the truth that came out of it. So when it talks about, hi, Valencia, I've missed you, girl. When it talks about being in the wealthy home and that there being several different kinds of vessels, some for noble and some for ignoble, is that how you
ignoble.
Say it?
Ignoble.
Okay. So the ones that are for good, they obviously look really nice because they've got like scrolls and they've been made intricately and all of that stuff. But the ones that are the day-to-day ones were made out of wood, made out of clay and all of that stuff. So the ones that were made normally out of clay for daily use were ones that were set at the front of the house, the front door, and that were set at the back of the house at the very end of the house. And so the reason that they had these kind of vessels was because everybody walked around barefoot or in sandals, and it's nasty, it's dirt, it's cow, horse, you know, all that stuff. So whenever you would walk into your home, you would put your feet in those clay pots that are filled with water so you can rinse your feet off and you can go through the rest of the house and not drag all that stuff in, right? So when it talks about the chosen ones, the honorable use, but and others that are, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart, useful for the master. So you guys, when you would go into a pot shop, a vessel shop.
Yeah.
When you go into a vessel shop. You guys are going to remember this for the rest of your life. When you would go into a vessel shop and you would purchase everyday vessels, you could just go in and you could look on, like at a grocery store, look at all of the shelves, and you could pick whatever one you wanted, whatever vessel that struck your fancy. But if you walked in and you talked to the vessel maker and you said to the vessel maker, I want a chosen pot. I want one that is way extra out of the ordinary. I don't want one of these everyday things.
Free from blemishes and stuff.
Free
like that.
From any kind
cracks.
Of nicks,
yeah.
or air pops, you know, little air bubbles and all of that. So what the owner would do is he would go in the back room. And he would be the one that would choose your vessel for you. You couldn't choose it. When you ask for a special one, he would be the one that would choose it for you. So he would go in the back. He would look over all of the shelves. And he would find one particular one that just struck him as being not ordinary, extraordinary, wonderful. And he would grab this pot off the shelf. He would go over to this little desk that was made that had a special type of ink that would not wash off. He would flip the pot over, and he would sign the bottom of the pot. Those everyday pots, they weren't signed. Those everyday pots, they weren't in the back room. Those everyday pots weren't chosen by the owner, the maker. You are a chosen vessel. You are the one that he chose to do what he chose to do in you for him. Nobody else will do. He will pick you out of all the other vessels. He will pick you. I used to tell my grandkids, and I've done it with every one of them, if I were to line up and Nora's the youngest, I'll take her, all of the six-year-olds that were named Nora in the world, they would stretch all the way around the world, but I would still choose you. And that's like, you guys, that does something. Jesus would still choose you. That's the difference. between the everyday thing and the one that is extraordinary, wonderful. You're chosen. You're chosen no matter what you do, no matter how far away you run or come back or do this or do that and then come back in the fold or go back out or, you know, this back and forth or whatever, or even arguing with God. God, you can't mean that for me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And if people see it in you and God sees it in you and you still can't see it in you, that's okay. Someday you will. Just give your heart to him and give your everything to him. It may not be easy every day, but when he comes in and pulls you off the shelf and signs the bottom so that will never go away, people will go to a yard sale, and when they turn something over and they see that it was made in a particular place, they, even if the person that's selling it may not recognize the value of it, some people know. People will just know. They just will.
That's good. Amen. Are we good? No. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Prepared for every good work. Chosen vessels. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at the gospel of peace. If we're to apply this to our lives, that helps us have a preparation in our hearts and in our lives so that our feet are firm. What does that mean? Let's go to Isaiah 32, 15 through 17. It says here, until the Spirit is poured upon us on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Then 17 says this, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So again, we learned last week about righteousness, didn't we? And so the actual work of righteousness in our life produces peace. So when you're saying, Lord, I receive your righteousness, that's part of the good news of Christ. It helps establish your feet. It helps make you firmer in the things of God. Amen? Romans 10, 14 through 16 says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So for us to be able to receive this gospel of peace, we have to hear. So we have to open up our hearts. We have to open up our ears. You know, some of you may have received Christ, but have you received the full work of Christ in your life? I haven't yet. And so what does that mean? I have to keep my heart open. I have to keep my heart respondent to God. I have to make sure that I'm not letting preconceived ideas or things that I've experienced in the past keep me from moving forward in God, because we should always be moving forward. It says that we should be going from glory to glory, and that only happens as God's truth being revealed to us. And that means that we have to be constantly desiring the full truth of God, as we've talked about before. So Romans 5, 1, 2 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Notice that the grace is causing us to stand as well and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get this peace that we're talking about. You're saying, Pastor Mike, I'm supposed to be prepared. I'm supposed to have my feet so that they're solid, so that they're firm, and I'm supposed to have this gospel of peace. Well, you get it through Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus Christ is the origin of the feet being shod with the gospel of peace. He is the origin who makes us prepared to walk this good walk. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3 says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved,
if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So again, the gospel which I preached to you is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So again, Christ Jesus dying for us, that is how, and realizing this is how we have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Hopefully in a few minutes, I'm going to show you what I do in my life to maintain this attitude of firmness and standing instead of just being blown around by every wind of doctrine. Then Romans 6, 12 through 13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So this is kind of where I want to land for a moment. Don't present yourselves and present your members, present your body as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourself to God. Now, what does that mean, present yourself to God? I thought I was presented to God. I thought I knew who I was. I thought, you know, what does that mean? That means that you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, you saved me. You delivered me. You bought me. You purchased me. I'm not my own. My temple, my body is yours. My body is your temple. Holy Spirit, you're living in me. What I'm doing right now is I'm presenting myself in such a way that the gospel is now being declared by me, because they're truths that I know in his word. They're truths that I've read through the years, that I've not just read, but I've applied them to my life. So now I can say, Lord, you are my righteousness. I don't stand in my own righteousness. What happens? My feet get firmer. If I'm having a difficult time, things are going not the way that I want, which they have before in the past, maybe I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for the difficulties in my life, because you're going to use them to benefit me. That's now taking the gospel of peace and applying it to my problems. How about this? There's something called the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes I'll just say, Lord, thank you that your love lives in me. Thank you that your joy lives in me. Thank you that your peace lives in me. Thank you that your patience lives in me through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that your goodness lives in me. Your kindness lives in me. Your faithfulness lives in me. Your gentleness lives in me. Your self-control lives in me, Lord. And so as all of these things are declared by me, I'm now agreeing with what God's doing in my life, and my feet are being strengthened. I'm not just relying on something I might, you know, think or maybe have read somewhere. I'm now applying these truths to my life. That means today I'm going to walk out and say, Lord, teach me to love better, so that it becomes an action that isn't just something, a word that I say, but it's actually part of who I am. And as you do that, you're now presenting yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. The rest of the world that doesn't know Christ, they're dead. It's as if they're dead. They are not able to know the things of God or experience the things of God, because they have to be spiritually received or discerned, as it says. So we can have all of these promises in the Bible, but if we don't apply them to our lives, we don't pray them, if we don't declare them, then they're just words. They're words that are waiting to be activated. It's just like when we declare. If you just sit back and just read on the screen with us, that's fine. And if you just want to say, yeah, amen. But if you declare and you start applying your faith to those words that we speak in those declarations, things are happening. Because again, we're supernatural. We are not just physical beings. We are supernatural beings. We are kingdom people. Says that we're not even of this world. We're temporary visitors here. But we're not just temporary visitors here, just, you know, waiting for someday to get something from God. No, we have God in us. He lives in us. That's another prayer you can say, Lord, you live in me. I'm not on my own. You're with me all the time. I receive, Lord, that good news that you said you're going to never leave me or you're never going to forsake me. That's how you apply the gospel of peace to your life. It's not just believing and then just walking through your day and saying, okay, yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's good, but you need to start getting in the Word where you realize that there's precious promises. You know what it says about those precious promises in Peter? It says that he has given us these precious promises. That's his Word. That's those things like I was declaring, that I have the fruit of the Spirit in me. It says that we have these precious promises so that we can take on his divine nature. God's divine nature. Now, if you guys think that God's divine nature is exactly what you have right now, then that's great. But I'm telling you, there's more to us being a son, a daughter of God in that divine nature if we receive his promises. But they have to be received. Our Christianity is not meant to be something that we're bystanders. I know that the whole the whole body of Christ unfortunately has been taught, because we've been seated like at a theater, and then someone gets up and speaks on Sunday or on Wednesday night or whatever it is, and that we then think that we hear the Word and that's like we receive it like a movie, but that's not what it's meant to be. The Christian faith is supposed to be a life of action, of doing things, of doing above and beyond all you could ask or think yourself, of receiving the grace of God to do something supernaturally that you can't do in your own power. That's Christianity. Christianity is to walk like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And there's no way that we can do this on our own strength. I'm not saying that you need to go out tomorrow and think, I'm going to be like Jesus and just start doing it. No, you need to start saying, Lord, you live in me. You teach me how to live like Jesus. I'm going to surrender this day into your hands. I'm going to commit my life into your hands, but I'm going to surrender just this day. Help me walk in this day with you. Help me when I come to a situation that my normal response would be, okay, let's go to blows. My response is, okay, Jesus, you live in me. How do I respond? It's a difference of being a real Christian or in name. Real Christian in deed and in desire and in yielding, or in just in name. We've had too many Christians out there who've been just Christians in name. We have to be world changers that live our lives dedicated to God, surrendered to God, yielded to God, wearing this full armor of God. And part of it is being prepared for the days that we live in. We need to be prepared now more than ever, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And there's wars, rumors of wars, you know, bombing places. There's craziness going on in our political realm. There's craziness going on in cities all across the nation. You know, we're having all kinds of things happen that can cause people's hearts to get heavy. But we don't have to have that affect us that way, because we have God in us if we're letting the gospel of peace do its work. So what am I saying? I'm saying to be equipped and ready for war, one of the things we have to do is start applying the gospel of peace to our life. We have to start really making it truth to us, that they're not just words, but they're the truth. And when we know the truth, when we walk in the truth, when we experience the truth, guess what? We become free. And we become free from the shackles and the chains and the lies and the deception that the enemy's put on our lives. And we stand stronger. And that's what this is all about, that we're able to stand in these evil days. And the days could get more evil. They could get better. I mean, how many pray, Lord, make it better? I'm sure there are many in Jesus' day, Lord, get rid of these Romans, right? These Romans are messing up our plan. And God says, no, these Romans are right where I need them, because they're going to put him on the cross. So many people were frustrated with the Romans, wanted God to get rid of them, but he was using them for his glory. We don't know what God's going to use in our day for his glory. We don't know what he's going to use to help benefit us in our lives. So we need to learn to stand in whatever situation we're in, not wanting our circumstances to change. If they change, praise the Lord. But if they don't change, praise the Lord. Because he can do something in us that's eternal. He can do something in us that will wow others around us. And we can be if nothing else, not maybe world changers, that sounds too crazy. How about neighborhood changers? How about office changers? How about school classroom changers? How about best friend changers? How about brother and sister changers? Let's live a life so that when people see us, they are drawn to what we have. But the only way that's going to happen is if we truly believe the gospel, number one, and we start applying it to our lives in a way that we're not the same. And then guess what? We are equipped for war. And to the enemy, we look like that, or worse. Because we now have the one that conquered all fully activated in us. Amen? Go ahead and stand with me. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have, Lord, given us the gospel of peace. Lord, you've given us your good news, Lord. And that was the work on the cross, the mysterious work of the cross that from before the foundation of the world, Lord, you decided to do that. As Gay shared, Lord, we're chosen, Lord, by you. We're chosen by you, Lord, because you first chose us. We didn't choose you. So, Lord, we receive that gospel of peace into our hearts right now, Lord. And I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would receive the truth of what it means, Lord, to stand ready for you. Lord, that we would receive the truth, Lord, of what it means to apply and to activate the gospel of peace in our life. Lord, that we wouldn't just go through our days, Lord, and just whatever happens, God, but we would be determined and as it says, walk circumspectly, carefully, and allowing your gospel of peace to work in us. Lord, I pray for those that don't know your word right now. I pray that you would help them get a Bible. You would help them start in the book of John. You would help them start reading Proverbs, Lord. You would start getting them in your word where they could practically receive truth, God, that will transform and change them. Lord, I pray that we become a fellowship. We become a church, Lord, that is hungry for your truths, hungry for your word, Lord, that people are known, that we're known, Lord, by Bible-believing people, Lord, that we believe what your word says and we see what your word does in our lives. And I just bless my brothers and sisters right now, Lord. I ask that you continue to give to them everything that they need, Lord, to become who you've called them to be. That they would be conformed to the image of Christ. And Lord, that you would bless their lives, Lord, as they submit and release their will into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is my surrender.
Make room, Lord, where we've built up things, Lord, that have blocked you from certain areas of our life because we're ashamed of them, blocked you from parts of our heart that have been hurt that we don't want anyone else to see. Lord, we make room for you, Lord, in every part of our being, Lord, so that you can heal us, you can change us, Lord, and Lord, that we can, as we've said before, be who you've called us to be. I just thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their hearts, Lord, of passion for you and hunger for you. And Lord, I pray that this week, God, would be an epic week in their lives, Lord, that they would experience you, Lord, in a new depth and a new fire and a new passion in Jesus' name as they make room for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you guys.